for him there, okay? All right, take your Bibles, please. And let's go to the Old Testament tonight, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to share some thoughts with you this evening on how to be an encourager. How to be an encourager. You know, the world abounds with pessimists, discouragers, naysayers, negative thinkers, wet blankets, general run-of-the-mill gloomy gusses. They're all around us. They always seem to look on the dark side of things. But the child of God, we have a higher aim, a higher goal. That is to be an encourager to a lot of different people in a lot of different settings, in a lot of different situations. You see, the local church itself needs encouragers. Thompson Road Baptist Church needs encouragers. Someone one time said that there are three typical groups of people in every church. There is the group that make it happen. There are those who watch it happen. And then there are those who wonder what in the world is happening. Every church has those three groups inside their walls. Somebody else put it this way. Every church has the plus plus group, the plus minus group, and the minus minus group. The plus minus group says, I can do it, you can do it, so let's get together and get it done. The plus minus group says, I can do it, you can't do it, so get out of my way while I do it. The minus minus group says, I can't do it, you can't do it. Who thought up the idea anyway? Every church has those kind of folks. And what the church really needs are encouragers. Encouragers who will lift the spirits, lift the eyesight, lift the enthusiasm, lift the goals to help do the work of Christ. Every local church needs encouragers. The lost world needs encouragers. They need somebody to help show them Christ. Encourage them to come to Jesus. Yesterday morning at our church out in Coastville, we had a senior adult breakfast. We do that two or three times a year. And we had one yesterday morning, and our pastor was there, and he was sharing a testimony. He had texted me the day before on Friday and asked me to pray for a gentleman that he was planning on witnessing to on Friday afternoon. And then yesterday morning at our prayer breakfast, our senior adult breakfast, he gave the report that he had the wonderful opportunity to lead that man to Christ. He said, I tried to avoid it every which way. He said, Satan didn't want me to go. He said, I was tired. I was discouraged over some other things. And he said, I didn't really want to go. He said, but I finally went up going, and I'm glad I did, because he was out in the yard all by himself. I pulled in. He waved at me as he saw me pulling in. He said, I have no choice now. I got to stop. And he had the joy of leading him to the Lord Jesus. That's encouragement. Encouraging someone to come to Christ. Hey, but listen to this. The saved world also needs encouragers. Every single one of us. We all need folks who will encourage us. I'm 66 years of age. In a couple weeks, I'll turn 67. My wife and I have been together in Christian ministry now for 45 plus years. And if there's any one thing I have learned, is that there's people all around us who need some kind of encouragement. They're hurting. They may be smiling, but they are hurting inside. Somebody one time said, many a smiling face will cover a hurting heart. We try to put on the best of it, don't we? We try to keep a smile about us if we can, no matter how we're feeling. We try to keep our heads above water, but there's a hurting heart many times down below. And Christians need encouragers, those who will come alongside of and lift the spirits, lift the soul, help minister to the needs of individuals. The Bible uses the word encourage or encouraged 9 times. All of them are in the Old Testament. It comes from the Hebrew word kozak, which simply means to strengthen, to cure, to help, to repair, to fortify, and to bind. You see, an encourager is one who will strengthen another person. An encourager is one who fortifies another's faith. An encourager is one who helps to repair a damaged spirit. That's what encouragement is all about. We see an example of it here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Would you join me, please, at verse number 14? And we'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him and loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Interesting passage of Scripture, don't you say? But one that provides us with a glimpse into this idea, this concept, this ministry of encouragement to others. Saul, back in chapter 15 here in 1 Samuel, had disobeyed the Lord. He had not utterly destroyed the enemy as God had instructed him to do. As a result, the people would begin to intermingle with the other false religions and false nations around them. And because of his disobedience, God had now denied Saul the kingdom and had withdrawn the power of the Holy Spirit of God that was upon the life of Saul. Sad times. Awful time. Saul finds himself at a precarious moment in his life. He is now being troubled by an evil spirit. You see, if the Spirit of God does not rule us, Satan will. And what's going on in this location is that now he is disturbed and he's troubled because of his disobedience to God. Some 30 years earlier, when Saul was anointed king, Samuel said to him, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, for God is with thee." But now the Spirit of God is leaving, departing, all because of his disobedience to God. And as a result, he is in need of some type of help. He is in need of encouragement. Many people today find themselves in very similar situations. They are in need of help. Sometimes it might be because of an illness that they are going through. Sometimes it might be because of a family disturbance that they are encountering. Sometimes it might be financial circumstances that have caused a tremendous reversal. Sometimes it might be people who have lashed out or gone against and disturbed someone's heart and mind and their thinking. Sometimes it might be because we're downtrodden by sin that is unconfessed and not made right with God and with others. But for whatever the reason may be, we are disturbed and we are troubled and we are in need of help. We are in need of encouragement. Here is the great King of Israel. He's known his victories. He's known his defeats. And now because of sin, he is at a very low ebb in his life. All around us are people who stand in that same situation. Perhaps you find yourself in that same setting tonight. You're sitting here before me. You're sitting here in the confines of this room. You're sitting here listening to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is at your heart's door. And He's trying to help you do something. And the Word of God is trying to encourage your heart and draw you to Him. And I pray that God would use this passage to help us to understand our responsibility, our role in encouraging those around us. rather than being flippant with people, and rather than lashing out at individuals, or rather than just being bewildered by what people are going through, step in. Reach out. Encourage. Pray with. Try to lift the soul. Try to lift the spirit. Try to provide the encouragement that is needed to help bring that individual closer into a stronger relationship with the Lord. So here is the need of encouragement. But second, I want you to see the world's view of encouragement. You find an example of it here in the passage. Look, please, at verse number 16. Let our Lord now command thy servants to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. There's the world's answer. Amazing. They recognized that there was a problem, but they did not understand what the real solution was. Their solution was, hey, let's find somebody who can play some good music for our king, and that'll lift his spirits. That'll make him happy. Well, I'll be the first to admit that music can do wonders to a heart. Music can lift the spirits. I'll grant you that. Music can help soothe the savage beast, they say. Music has its place. Music is a wonderful thing. I love music. I've been leading music for 40 plus years now in my ministries. And I enjoy it with a passion. I enjoy singing. I enjoy leading a choir. I enjoy all of it. When I would hear my son sit down at the piano and play the piano, I just basked in it. I just listened as long as I could listen. I love good music. Music has its place. But these folks thought that was the answer. That's the answer. And that's always the world's answer. The world's answer never includes anything spiritual. It only includes that which is secularized in hopes that it might do something to lift somebody up. That's the world's view of encouragement. But you cannot solve a spiritual problem with worldly advice. My wife and I have been involved with Grace Today Ministries now for going on 6 years, I believe it is. And over the last 6 to 7 months, we've had the pleasure of ministering to about 7 different sets of people. Some have been couples, some have been individuals, pastors, wives, so forth. We have two pastors and their wives that are from out of state that we are ministering to right now. And we do it virtually through FaceTime and meet with them. And then the others that we meet with on a more on a local level. But if there's something that is important for me to remember, it is that my advice is worthless. It's the advice of the Word of God that counts. It's what the Bible says that can challenge the heart. It's what the Bible says that can minister to the need. It's what the Bible says that can draw an individual back from sin. It's the Bible that can accomplish God's work in the heart and life of a person. A spiritual problem deserves and needs a spiritual response. Too many people are after what we might refer to as a quick fix. They just want the easiest, the quickest solution to whatever it is they're going through. Not particularly caring what it might be or how it may go. They just want it done. They want it solved now. Some problems can't be solved now. Sometimes there's some bridges to cross. Sometimes there's some water to wade through. Counseling, I was one time told by an experienced counselor that counseling is like peeling an onion. Just layer by layer, you eventually finally get to the core. And it takes a while sometimes to get those layers peeled. But everybody wants a quick fix. They just want some quick soothing answer for their heartache and hope that it all dispels and goes away. They project that their happiness is dependent on them getting rid of whatever it is that's disturbing them. That's the world's advice. That's the way the world looks at it. But that is not a spiritual response. The purpose of spiritual encouragement is to get one's heart turned to God. And when we as individuals are seeking to provide encouragement to another person, it's because we want their focus to be on God. And that's the kind of encouragement we should be seeking to give. Look at one last thing with me. Look at God's way to encouragement. How does God take care of the need? What does God do in the hearts of people? And how does God accomplish it? Look back at verse 18. It says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with it.'" Who is he talking about in that verse? Anybody want to venture a guess? Son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite? David. Yeah. None other than David, the shepherd boy. There's something unique, something special about that young man. And God is about to do something not only in Saul's life, but he's about to do something in David's life. He's going to put David in connection to the palace where he will eventually one day become ruler. And that process is about to begin. It'll be a while coming, but the process is beginning. And so they call upon David. Finally, there is somebody in this group of men, finally somebody in this crowd who has some type of spiritual sense. The group simply wants to find somebody who can play the harp, provide music to soothe the troubled soul of Saul. But finally somebody speaks up and says, "Wait a minute, I know someone. He is a good musician. He is a good player on the harp." And David was a musician. Remember, he wrote many of the Psalms, and the Psalms were hymns. He was able to play the harp. He was able to sing. I don't know if David was a tenor or a baritone or a bass. I do hope when we get to heaven, he'll do a concert for us. And I'd like to hear him sing. But here's David. Somebody says, "I know somebody. He's a musician. He skillfully can play the harp. He's a valiant man. He's a man of war. He is prudent in manners. He's a comely person." And then he says, "And the Lord is with him." There's the clincher. That's the clincher. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what set David apart. That's why David could be an encourager. That's why David could help Saul. That's why David could lift his spirits. Because the Lord was with him. What a blessing. What a blessing. Notice the character of this encourager. Notice the character that is involved. Verse 18, cunning and playing, a mighty valiant man. In other words, he was a man of courage. He goes on to say he was prudent in matters. That means he was a wise individual. It goes on to say that he was a comely person. That means he was filled with humility. He was a humble person. Wasn't just seeking to elevate himself and put himself in some kind of high spot. And then he was a spiritual person. The Lord was with him. David stood up. And you know, that should be the same character traits of us as encouragers today. It really should be. If you want to be a good encourager, you've got to have some courage about you, because it takes some courage to be an encourager. It takes a little courage to reach out to try to help somebody else. It takes wisdom, takes prudence, takes humility, and it certainly takes a spiritual heart. Good characteristics for each and every one of us. Notice also the spirit of this encourager. Look down at verse number 20 and 21. It says, "And Jesse took an ass laid with bread and a bottle of wine, a kid, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly." the spirit of the encourager. David loved Saul. I'm sure David didn't like the spirit of Saul. As troubled as it was, and as discouraged as it was, and as defeated as it was, but nonetheless, David loved Saul. You know, to be an encourager, you've got to love people. You've got to love others. You've got to see the joy in serving and ministering to someone else. There is a joy there. Not always easy, sometimes discouraging, sometimes it can be hard. But nonetheless, we have to reach out. We have to give what we can. I've known some people say, "Well, I just don't want to try to love people because it hurts too much when they betray you." It's a risk you take. It's a risk you take. But David loved Saul, and if we're going to minister to people, if we're going to be an encourager, then we have to ask God to give us a heart of love for others. A heart that is willing to minister to the needs of other people. I was fortunate growing up. I was raised in a pastor's home. Dad pastored for nearly 50 years before he retired from active ministry. And if there's any one thing I could say about my dad, Dad was a people person. He loved people. All kinds. All shapes, all sizes, all colors, all thoughts. Dad just loved people. It showed in his ministry. It showed as he reached out to people. There was no one who could ever deny Dad's love. It was just there. It overflowed. I'm fortunate for that. I'm thankful for that example. And it's an example that we should endure and that we should be like and that we should put before us all the time. The spirit of the encourager. We've got to love people if we're truly going to reach out and minister to them. But then notice the last thing here. Notice the action of the encourager. Notice the action. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Notice that phrase that says, David took an harp and played with his hand. Reminds me of what the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Action. An encourager has to activate themselves. They have to get involved. Can't be standoffish. You can't just sit and twiddle your thumbs and hope. You have to literally, actually reach out. You have to make a contact. You have to speak up. You have to say something. And there's a number of ways to do that. It could be done verbally, where you speak to the individual and say, "Listen, I want you to know I'm praying for you." And then make sure you are. And maybe even at that very moment say, "Hey, let's pray together right now." It might be some encouraging words that they might be blessed by if you share some thoughts with them. And just remind them that you care, that you are there. It could be through a written note. This day and age, there's a lot of opportunities for that. I still believe a handwritten note is by far the most personal. But you can text, you can email, you can leave a voicemail. There's a number of ways that you can communicate with people today by writing and sending them a note to let them know, "I'm praying for you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Look to Him." You can also offer your personal help. Oh, I know that might put you on the spot, won't it? Might mean you have to do something other than talk. But that doesn't hurt either, really. There's a lot of different ways to be in contact and to activate this matter of encouragement to those around you. It simply requires your personal involvement, a willingness to take your time, a willingness to give the effort, a willingness to listen. Just do it. That's what David did. When he was needed, he played with his hand. Action. One of the greatest gifts, I believe, that we can give to somebody else is ourselves. Ourselves. Oh, granted, we may not be much. That's okay. You don't have to be much. All you have to do is love Jesus with all your heart. And if you love Jesus with all your heart, God can use you to be a blessing to somebody around you. And that's the challenge. We have too many pessimists in the world today. Too many naysayers. Too many gloomy people. Oh, granted, there's a lot of gloomy stuff going on around the world today, right? The world's in a mess. This world's in an absolute mess. And I agree with the old sermon that Dr. Lee Robertson used to preach years ago. He titled it, "The Only Way Out of the Mess We're In." And he preached on the second coming of Jesus. I firmly believe that. The only way out of the mess we're in right now is for Jesus to come. I hope you're listening for the trumpet. My daddy used to say, "I've stopped listening for the trumpet. I'm now listening for Gabriel to lick his lips." Christ is coming. We're in a mess. COVID. Mask mandates. Who knows what comes next? Schools. The critical theory things that are going on. This world's in a mess. But you know what? Those of us who know Jesus, we do have the answer. We do. May not be a popular one, but we have the answer. Just give everybody Jesus. Give the lost world Jesus. Give the saved world Jesus. Give the churches Jesus. Just give them Jesus. Amen. Amen. Best thing we can do. And the way to do that is by giving ourselves. Giving our time, our energy, our effort, our resources, our love, our spirit, our encouragement to others. And God can take it. God can use it.